The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Shotgun, 12:22 to go, first half. Burrow steps up. Burrow is sacked at the 45. The fourth of the day for the Kansas City D, and it's the rookie George Karlaftis out of Purdue.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez on this Tuesday, January 31st, 2023. And right now, our guest in studio, Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. I know you guys are feeling good. I know Nate's feeling good. He put that whole audio segment together. George Karlaftis is big brother here. I get text every time George Karlaftis does anything.
I'm still dragging. I'm trying to bounce back. A very emotional and physically taxing day, but it was wonderful to be out there covering the game. And yes, I'm doing very, very good. And I know that I received many tweets from our fine listeners, very excited, wanting to hear what you had to say about the Chiefs against all odds, against your odds, getting this victory.
My odds?
Oh, yeah. You, okay. You, yes.
Nobody absolutely. Else picked the Chiefs except the Bengals except me.
Hey, you're on this show, though.
Okay. All right.
You are the one of the most noteworthy voices in the NFL that we have a chance to speak to. And so, you're right. A lot of people picked the Bengals. Almost everyone that I saw on the national TV picked the Bengals. But the Bengals did not win. And so you tell me, Jeff Chedia, what you thought of this AFC championship game won by the Chiefs 23-20.
I thought it was a great effort. I mean, last week I said this, maybe not on this show, but on our podcast, that the Chiefs had a chance to win. And it was going, and then Serena asked me, what does it look like? And I said, defensive line's got to dominate, got to get Burrow on the ground, got to get turnovers, and the quarterback's got to play well. All three of those things happen. And so I wasn't surprised that they won the game. I thought the Bengals were going to win, but certainly you're not going to bet against a guy like Patrick Mahomes to do something miraculous. And he did that. And even when the playoffs started, I said, this team will only win a championship if he plays out of his mind for three straight games. He's done it twice now. But they also won that game because their defense played tremendously.
Were you surprised that a hobbled Patrick Mahomes outplayed Joe Burrow?
Let me say it this way. I didn't know what to expect. I was surprised that he moved better than he did. And I definitely thought there was a really good chance the Chiefs could exploit the Bengals' offensive line. Now, they did that early. The Bengals got it under control, and they were able to make some plays, but certainly the two interceptions that Burrow threw were huge factors in what happened in that game. I thought when they had the ball with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, they were going to drive down, suck the clock dry, score a touchdown, and win the game. And even when they got the ball back with whatever it was, 2 minutes to go, I thought the same thing. They were in great position. But that didn't happen because they got an interception. They got a big sack from Chris Jones.
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Sitting in the press box with Lebo and the Chiefs faced with that, no matter what you thought Andy Reid should do, it was a difficult decision. At 4th and 8 at the 37, and there's no great decision there, right? Do I kick a 55-yard field goal in this weather? Harrison Butker told me in an interview after the game he was good from 55 in that direction. That's what he told coaches. Okay, so 55, right on the very edge. I don't think he would have made a 55-yarder, but it's not so ridiculous where it's at least not an option. 55-yard field goal, go for it on 4th and 8, or kick the ball back to Joe Burrow and watch him do what he's done to you the past three games. And so I'll be honest with you, I'm looking at Todd and I'm thinking, they can't kick it back to Burrow. They can't give it back to Burrow. You're kicking the game away. He's going to get the ball and they're going to drive down the field, and they're going to kick a field goal with 5 seconds left. I've seen the ending to this movie before. But then he punts it. It was a difficult decision. And let me tell you guys.
Was it that difficult?
I think it was.
I mean, you're risking, if he misses that field goal, you're giving the Bengals the ball on a short field with a very good kicker themselves.
With everything that I've seen in the past 3.5 games, all I kept thinking about was jump ball to Ja'Marr Chase, jump ball to T. Higgins. Look, man, I'll tell you what else I thought the Chiefs were going to lose when I was very nervous about
this. Wait, you thought they were
going to
lose?
It was 3rd and 16. No, in the middle of the game, okay. It was 3rd and 16. It was 3rd and 16 from the Cincinnati 10. Yeah. Okay, this is it. Wide open receiver, and they got to the 33. Now, honestly, Nate, what did you think as soon as that happened?
Oh, man, I was sick to my stomach. I was like, uh-oh.
I was wondering where George Karloftis was on that play. This thing's I was wondering, where's Karloftis
Mark,
now?
Be honest. When they converted that 3rd and 16, what did you think?
The 3rd and 16 to Hayden Hurst?
Yeah, well, yes.
Or the...
At the end of the game, Marco!
I was sick to my stomach because...
Were you confident after they picked up that 3rd and 16? Like, oh, no, the Chiefs are still going to stop him. I said, oh, no, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was 3rd and 16. And they go, okay, this is another Ja'Marr Chase, whatever, and they're going to kick a field goal to win it.
Mm-hmm.
But... Chris Jones changed the narrative. We can talk about all the big plays in the world. When they had to have a sack, it's 3rd and 8 at the Cincinnati 35. And you know, I'm thinking, okay, where's Ja'Marr Chase? Throw it up to him. There'll be two guys on him. One guy won't be able to find the ball. Another guy will have it right there, and Chase will pluck it out of the sky. Chris Jones prevented that from happening. So if anyone, Mahomes deserves all the credit in the world, but Chris Jones deserves a massive amount of credit because he doesn't get that sack. I don't know what happens.
Yeah. How about you block him? How about you put two bodies on him?
How about they did most of the night and it still didn't work?
In the most amazing, in the most critical part of the game. But then they pop him outside, But you still know where he's at if you're Joe Burrow. You can change the protection and you can get it back over there. So, look, I think that Chiefs won the game. The call at the end, I'm sure we'll get into it with Osai, but I felt like the Bengals, and maybe that was the overconfidence during the week showing up. I felt like they got greedy a couple times in that game, especially on that drive that I alluded to earlier when it was 7 minutes to go. They had a 2nd and 3 and a 3rd and 3. They took a shot to Ja'Marr Chase on a corner route that didn't complete. Ball banged off his helmet, and then they tried to throw that deep ball to T. Higgins on 3rd and 3. And I'm thinking, those are pretty aggressive plays when you got a chance to really do what you've done the last couple games against the last three games against the Chiefs. You have the ball, you can burn the clock, you can give them less opportunities. And so I thought Steve Spagnuolo had a really good game plan, and I wonder how much that changed when Tyler Boyd got hurt, because they did a lot of doubling of both Chase and Higgins as that game went on. He knew that he could win with four defensive linemen, and that really created a conundrum for Burrow, because he didn't have the opportunity to have guys winning off the line of scrimmage immediately where he could get the ball out quick. He had to hold it more and wait for plays to develop, and that led to him having to make more throws under duress. But, you know, again, I look at that game as, I think, you know, Brett Veach deserves a lot of credit for how that game played out. The players he drafted all made key plays in that game. But even more so, it was the embodiment of how I think you should win a championship or compete for a championship, is that you got to have everybody contribute. And so they won that game because they needed everything. They needed every last bit of contribution they got from every last player on that roster who played in that game. If they don't get that, they don't win.
I'm looking back. I was trying to keep notes during the game about encircling big plays in the second half. Do we remember 3rd and 6, the quarterback draw, which was a fantastic call? Burrow picked up 11 yards. Then there was a 3rd and 6 from the Kansas City 27, big play, and then they throws a touchdown to Higgins.
Yep.
And then the one that, I mean, and this was, I man, we haven't talked about this much at all. 4th and 6 to start the fourth quarter.
Well,
And what are they? 35-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I mean, and that leading up to that last drive, that's what's in my mind. Third downs and fourth downs, even right before that stop, a third and 16. And so again, I can't overstate what Chris Jones and what that performance meant, and because they
don't win without it,
right?
I mean, that's what I mean.
No way.
Maybe it's revisionist history today, but it took everything they had to win that game, and they still needed that penalty at the end to put them over the top. You know, this wasn't a team that was going to, when it was, what it was, 13-3, I thought, you know what, Chiefs get another score here, they could really put some pressure on them. And then it was 13-6, then it was 13-13, then it was 20-13, then it was 20-20. And again, it's the difference in that game, and it just shows you how much you don't know what's going to happen at this time of year, is that the Bengals' offensive line became a factor. And it was a factor early, and it was a factor late. And, you know, it's no disrespect to the Chiefs either, because they lost a lot of players in that game too.
Yes.
And so they had to play through a ton of stuff, and so they willed their way through it, which I think is – I'm curious to see how all that stuff affects this game with the Eagles going forward. But, no, I think the will, the grit, all that stuff, the way the quarterback played, they came – to fight, and they won because they fought.
What if I would have told you guys, okay, Snead's going to go out in the first quarter?
Right.
How much would that have affected
four plays into the game?
Your decision. That was a huge blow.
But then they lost Tyler Boyd. That's what I'm saying. Right. I think that's.
But then the Chiefs lost Willie Gay.
Right, but then Willie Gay and losing all those receivers to where, I mean, Marcus Kemp and Sky Moore. And then on top of that, after everything that's happened, and again, you can listen to that interview at our podcast page at 810WHB.com, the interview I had with Sky Moore after the game. Of all the people to be back there to return a punt after everything that's happened this year, it's Sky Moore.
Yeah.
And he gets the 29-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Some people would say he got helped by some blocks. I haven't heard anybody talk about officiating yet. All the talk I've heard about officiating all year, right. Carl Cheffer doing Super Bowl, I haven't heard anybody say. And I didn't think it was a badly officiated game when I watched it, but I was shocked how much people were complaining about it and are still complaining about it.
Because everyone that hates the Chiefs.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, I never hear officiating talk when your team wins.
Right, that's right. That's
isn't that
right,
amazing?
Jeff.
It all bounces out.
Thank you,
man. It all bounces out in the end, doesn't it?
I thought the officiating was well below average for that game.
Some people would say it was horrible.
Yeah.
I would say that officiating in the NFL has not been great all year. You know, there's been a lot of griping about the refs all year long.
But it bounces out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Sooner or later, it bounces out.
Miss me with that. They can't call that penalty against Osai at the end of the game. Why not?
I think that was a penalty. There's no question about it.
You wanted to change the rules?
I think people were upset about the Orlando Brown hold, and they thought there was a block in the back on the kick. Again, I think stuff happens during games all the time. And if you want to throw flags all the time, you can throw it anytime you want to. And so I'm just saying, when Carl Jefferson's calling this game, I'm going to hear about this for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
How much he can't stand the Chiefs, how much he blows games. And it's just like, it doesn't matter. You always have opportunities to win the game on your own.
It's the excuses.
Yeah.
Excuses. You know, like when you do that stuff, everybody's got excuses, and they all stink. You know, Patrick Mahomes is on a bad ankle. And I remember you talking last week. Hey, if he goes out there and plays and they lose, I don't want to hear, well, he was playing on a bad ankle. If he goes out there and they lose, I don't want to hear, well, he was throwing to backup wide receivers. You know, did you win the game or not?
Yep.
You know, did the Bengals catch some bad breaks with their offensive line and maybe a call here or there? Sure. Did the Chiefs catch some bad breaks with their entire wide receiver core being out and their only veteran secondary player getting hurt the first drive of the game? Yeah, somebody's got to go win the game.
Yep.
And look, at the end of the day, what you point out, all four of these games against the Bengals have come down to a field goal. That's how close these teams are. That's how close they are. And what I love the fact that you pointed this out, it's about the entire – this game, I think it's actually a beautiful thing because we spend so much time talking about how the quarterback is all that matters, and it is by far more important than anything else, but – that game was about the entire organization. It was even about how good the training staff is.
Yep.
getting guys ready to play. If you, because there are organizations out there, you could probably tell us about some that don't think that the training staff is really that important compared to the way the Chiefs invest in it. And that stuff ends up making the difference.
Chargers.
Hello. Hello, right? Like that stuff matters.
Yep. I say it all the time this time of year, and it was a great piece of advice or an opinion that was given to me. You don't win a championship in this league unless your entire organization has a championship year. Like, everybody's got to be playing at their highest level. And if you don't have that, whether it's the trainers, the travel people, you know, the coaching staff, the players, the scouts, whoever it is, then you're not going to win because it takes all that. And so, to me, it's not a surprise that the two teams left standing are the two teams who've been the healthiest, who've been the best coached, who've, you know, had developed the best players. That's how you get here. You know, so what happens after that is something different. But and it's so easy, and it's a guy like Mahomes makes it really easy, or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, whoever, whatever superstar quarterback you want to talk about, to just focus on them and what they do. But Mahomes would even tell you this. Like, it was phenomenal what he did out there. It was spectacular. And the only thing I could think of in the last 30 years that comes close to it is Terrell Owens playing on a broken leg, or coming back from a broken leg in the Super Bowl when he was playing for Andy Reid 20 years ago. But ultimately, he ain't winning that game unless Brian Cook is hustling back and tipping that pass, unless Chris Jones, unless Frank Clark is showing up, unless George Klopp is getting that sack, unless the guys coming in playing for Willie Gay do something. They had four rookies playing their secondary at one point. You know? I mean, it's so you know, I'm doing a story right now, and it's interesting with this game coming up that's talking about just general manager philosophies, how they've changed and how aggressive teams have become, and roster building. And so this game coming up is a great case study for, is that theory of, hey, do it like the Chiefs are doing, get a great quarterback, ride him for 15 years and see how many championships you can win with that, or do you just build a great team, plug in a quarterback who's really good, and see what you can do that way? Because more people are saying the odds of finding Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, whoever the young guy is, are really slim. But you can still win a championship if you put a great roster together and find somebody who's a good quarterback.
See, it's hard to sell that in Kansas City to a man of my age.
I get it. Yeah.
Because I've experienced both.
Yeah, but it's a different. Yeah. But it's also a different world in terms of. Practice squads are bigger.
Right.
Salary cap's bigger. Trade deadline is later. There's more players to
be
had.
There were several years that Marty and Carl Peterson had the best, you know, roster 2 through 53. And look at how many guys they tried with. Steve DeBerg, Dave Craig, Joe Montana, Steve Bono, Elvis Gerbeck, Rich Gannon, although they never really tried with Rich Gannon. That's a problem.
Yeah, and how many of those guys were Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks?
Gerbeck made a couple
MVP
Pro Bowls.
Level well, quarterback.
Gannon was left and became an MVP, so he may have been.
So they missed
if
the
they'd
one
have let him play. But, you know, I mean, Joe Montana at that stage of his career was still fantastic. He just couldn't hold up physically. But they always had a fan. I mean, you look back at some of those teams and some of those names on the defense and some of the Hall of Famers they had. And so it just – and I agree with you. Yes, this is going to be great because most people say the Eagles have the best roster top to bottom. But I'll ask you this. When they drafted Jalen Hurts, people were shocked. They've got Carson Wentz. And they probably saw maybe through the charade of Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts just isn't like another guy. Like if the Chiefs in the 90s – would have had Jalen Hurts, they'd have won a title or two. He's not Mahomes, but he's pretty damn dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I don't know if you guys recall this, when they played the Eagles last year, and Jalen Hurts threw for like almost 400 yards and ran for like 50 yards, and we're sitting there like, how is this guy doing this? This defense is this bad that Jalen Hurts is looking like, you know, Warren Moon out there and Michael Vick combined. And who knew that was the beginning of what he's becoming now? And,
he's terrific.
And I've spent time with him. And I'll tell you, his presence, his impact on that team is the same as Mahomes' impact on this team in terms of just personality and will. You can't spend 5 minutes with this guy talking to him and know his story. And you guys know his story. And yeah. Alabama to Oklahoma.
He's out there congratulating Tua when they win the championship. But he checks it. He's a coach's son. Yep. He checks all the boxes.
Yep. But he puts so much time in there. And I was out there earlier in the year when he started to get going, and we talked for like a half an hour about the way he was going and what he was doing. And just this dude is just – there's something about him that's hard to capture. And I think they picked up on that early. And a lot of those guys in there either play with him in his career or played against him. But just his inspiration. So people get so consumed with just, oh, look at his numbers compared mm-hmm. to Mahomes. He's not mm-hmm. spinning it. He's not putting up the 400-yard game and all this stuff. It's like he doesn't have to do that for that team. You know, he doesn't have to be that kind of player.
He came in already established thanks to what his college career
kind of
molded him.
Yeah, exactly. He can do that stuff, but it's more so – that the way they play around him and when he's involved and when he's there, it's just he's a special guy, and I think they're a special team because of him.
And I will say this. You know, I like to keep my receipts every once in a while if I get something right. You were on Jalen Hurts before the season started about this. I mean, you were telling us all these intangibles and everything that he was going to bring to the table, and I was skeptical. I was. I didn't see it from him, and now he's MVP caliber.
Yeah.
An easy guy to root for, too.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting matchup, I'll say this, because even when you watch film of them, I think Dan Orlovsky was doing a cut-up the other day on Get Up, and he was showing a run play they were running and showing how San Francisco's linebackers, who were phenomenal, like their front seven is so great, how they're just kind of stuck in the mud trying to figure out where they go in here because you have to respect his running ability mm-hmm. so much. And it's not like Lamar Jackson where you have to say, okay, well, if you force him to throw, you're not as worried about it. Like, he can beat you throwing. Like, they have – and credit to Nick Sirianni, too, for it, too, because he believed in this guy and bought into it. And so, yeah, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but he brings things to the table that are very Mahomes-like as far as intangibles.
You know, I know most people just say Cincinnati, but I think there's at least an argument. Like, I mean, who's got the better 1-2 punch at receiver, the Bengals or the Eagles?
It's tough.
AJ Brown,
Devontae Smith,
88 catches for 1,496 yards and 11 touchdowns. Devontae Smith, 95 catches for 1,196 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah,
I
love Ja'Marr Chase though. I think he's the best.
Oh, right. Hey, but I mean that's production wise, that's right up there with anything you could put on the field.
No, they're special, and that's where they get you because you got to commit so many people to the run game that those guys are going to get one-on-one matchups, and they can terrorize you. But really, this game, to me, is like every championship game that gets played. As much as we talk about the quarterbacks, as much we will talk about the quarterbacks, it will be decided up front. It just the last time the Chiefs played in the Super Bowl against the Bucks when they played against the 49ers, it's going to be offensive line, defensive line. That's where it's going to be decided.
And see, I there have been times in the past where I was not okay with that. I'm good with that. I like the Chiefs' chances because of the way this defensive line played and the way that the offensive line has come together. But, man, again, Miles Sanders, 1,269 on the ground with 11 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, 760 yards on the ground with 13 touchdowns. And Kenneth Gainwell's gone crazy in the postseason. Such a dynamic offense. Cannot wait for this game. Damn it, we still got a week and a half. Jeff Chedea's in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bukady in studio with Jeff Chedea from NFL Network and NFL.com. Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20 in the AFC Championship game, and now we'll take on the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. When do you leave for Arizona?
Sunday night. And it's... I get to watch my kid play basketball one more time before he leaves. He was actually at the game, so for all the people who think I don't like the Chiefs, I was super excited for him. Super excited for – I saw Ted Cruz, their PR guy, after the game. Was just really happy for him, happy for Eric B. All the guys I know, Bieniemy, Veach, Reed, Mark Donovan.
Your son loves the Chiefs.
Love is a strong word. He loves the NBA. He likes the Chiefs. I mean, he's behind them. But, you know, to see him out there, it was his first game that wasn't a preseason game. So he was brave the cold, nice. You know, cold weather. Got through it. Spent a little time in the club level.
That's a cold day.
It's a cold day. So I was impressed. I was happy for him and proud of him that he made it through.
What do you say, I mean, again, about this rookie class and you know, you mentioned Brett Veach and what he's done in the offseason, what he put together. I mean, that was a showcase. Not only, you know, Isaiah Pacheco out there, and both of the interceptions were by rookies, and Sky Moore with the return, and George Karloftis, as Nate has repeatedly reminded you, with a sack. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. He had a sack.
I think I saw a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the field. And then one of the free agent signings, MVS, I know he's been up and down this year, but where would they have been without him and his 116 yards and a touchdown on Sunday? Andy Reid gets all the credit. Does Brett Veach not get enough credit?
Oh, he doesn't get enough credit. And that's part of the job.
Even like on the –
I
shouldn't say this.
What's that?
Even like on the stage when they're getting the AFC Championship trophy, where's Brett Veach at? It's just, you see the Hunts, you see Andy Reid, and then you see, you know, Mark Donovan in every camera shot. You know,
that's not like his personality. For one, I think he's very happy.
But he should
being
be up
behind
there.
The scenes. I think I didn't watch the celebration, but I'm sure he was up there.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
what do you mean front and center?
He was standing off stage left with him and his wife.
Front
it was
and center
him and his wife.
Instead of Mark Donovan, and Mark Donovan should be over there. I don't know. I mean, just like
I don't know how they choreographed
Veach,
it.
Why?
Some guys just, you know, like Chase Daniel. He knows how to get on camera. You know, he knows where to stand.
Yeah.
It's a skill level, you know. Maybe Veach just doesn't know where to stand, you know.
Well, and I would say he doesn't get enough credit because he's not, going back to the story I'm working on, he's not making the same kind of super aggressive moves that you're seeing. Like the Eagles, Howie Roseman had a Super Bowl team, champion team in 2017, and he's rebuilt another one. 6 years later, he did it with a ton of moves, a ton of huge trades, trading your second overall pick in the draft, 2016. Les Snead traded Jared Goff, the first overall pick in the draft, for Matthew Stafford, and traded for Von Miller and signed Odell Beckham. Like, this team isn't making those kinds of big moves anymore.
He's not wheeling and dealing.
Not wheeling. So you don't – that gets you a lot of attention. But I think that
wasn't trading Tyreek Hill
trading him away. That's what I'm saying, when you're not trading for him. But Miami got more love for him being traded to there.
He traded for Orlando Brown. I thought that was a huge deal. I mean, he's
not as sexy as Von Miller.
Right. But I mean,
it's smarter. It's smarter.
It's smarter. It's
I mean,
smarter.
That's the thing is, like, to me, I feel like he deserves more credit for that because he's had the guts, and look, he's empowered by Andy Reid to have those guts, because Andy Reid has going back to his time in Philadelphia, he's been averse to signing veterans around 30 to long-term contracts. He wants to keep turning them, you know, and so he's empowered by Andy Reid, but still, to go out there and trade away Tyreek, I mean, we got to remember what everybody was saying when that trade happened.
Well, I remember, trust me.
That was a
I remember
gutsy
all,
trade.
All the people who were sitting here talking about nobody was picking the Chiefs, everybody's writing it too soft. I've met a lot of Chiefs fans who were like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Are we just giving up on the season?
Yeah.
So the thing about Veach that that I think people need to appreciate, and I'm a big fan of his, he's been very good to me. I feel like he had to get, and maybe I don't know how much Andy plays a role in this or if Andy was leading the charge on this, but he had to get this organization to understand, yes, we have a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, but we're not going to win a championship just because we have a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback. Like, we have to put a balanced team around him. And so the defense that he put on the field this year, and I said it from day one, the potential is there. They can be a really good defense. I like what they're doing. Pacheco, the way they bought into him early as far as what he could bring to the offense, I think that you're not making those kinds of moves as a coaching staff if you don't have those kind of players there. So he obviously said, we got to be faster on defense. We got to be more balanced as a team. We got to have a more physical presence in our run game. And I think earlier on, they may not admit it, he or Andy, but I think there was more of a focus on, let's just, hey, we got Mahomes. We're going to just bomb people up. No one can hang with this guy. He's the Michael Jordan, the LeBron James of our era in the NFL. And I think they got humbled the last couple of years. And I think they realized that that's not going to get us by. Like, we got to have more around our quarterback. And so that, to me, was the most impressive part, again, of what happened on Sunday. You saw the fruits of that labor, and you saw the reality of, you know, as much as we talk about Patriots and what they did for 20 years, they always had great defense, they always had great special teams, and the quarterback was great. And so you got to have all three areas be good to be able to compete year in and year out. And the teams that don't do that are the teams that end up fading away.
But, okay, so you talked about in the last segment how much you like Ja'Marr Chase. We all do. I mean, he's in the argument for best receiver. T. Higgins is a stud, and a Boyd left the game early. Joe Burrow's a terrific quarterback. What about the performances specifically from the rookie defensive backs?
They played well.
That was not a given. And you're not talking about, well, a first-round pick, a second. I mean, you got a first-rounder, a second-rounder, a fourth-rounder, a seventh-rounder. And not only was that great for the Chiefs right now, but that bodes well for moving forward. I mean, that was a big gamble to rely so heavily. And then they doubled down on it. And I know he's not a great player, but one of the veteran guys, when they shipped off Rashad Fenton, they said, no, we're good with the young guys that we have. But once Snead went out, that's what they had to rely on, and they came through with flying colors in this game.
They did, but I also think Spagnuolo changed up his philosophy. Like, there wasn't as much blitzing. There was a lot of doubling of Chase and Higgins. You were there. I mean, if you watch the back end of the defense, Juan Thornhill, Brian Cook, Justin Reed, they were rarely not over the top of those two guys, especially once Boyd got hurt. And so I think instead of saying, hey, we're going to be super aggressive up front, bring pressure, leave our corners on an island, like he said, we're going to protect our corners, which I think was an important step. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was one play there where he actually dropped eight in the coverage, like showing mm-hmm. Blitz and dropped eight. I was like, whoa.
And it also helps when your defensive line is able to get pressure.
Yeah, it helps. So, I mean, there was the luxury of knowing that, of having confidence in that. But, yeah, I think that, to me, that showed some evolution there in that we're not just going to do what we always do and, you know, put these guys in positions where they're not playing to their strengths. We're going to, you know, and just be all scheme heavy. We're going to look at what we're dealing with here, and we're going to make adjustments, and we're going to protect our guys. And so, we'll see what they do against Philadelphia, because you're not going to have that luxury now, because those safeties have to be involved in the run game. You know, they just have to. Otherwise, you're going to get gashed, and you're going to have the ball for 20 minutes. And so there are going to be one-on-one situations. And so, yeah, I think the length of – they're talking about Josh Williams right now at the Combine or at the Senior Bowl from last year. You have him. You've got Watson. Those long corners are going to matter against a guy like A.J. Brown, who's super physical.
Cook starting to make a bigger impact.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to deal with Dallas Goedert. I mean, there's a lot of guys. The backfield, Miles Sanders out of the backfield is a weapon. Gainwell out of the backfield is a weapon. I mean, they've got a lot of people who can – that's what makes them so dangerous, because they have so many different ways that they can beat you.
I'm a little scared, actually, or at least a little nervous for my guy Karlofagas in this game, too, because there's so much pressure put on the edge rushers with that zone read, you know, trying to make good decisions. We saw what happened when they put Chris Jones out there, you know, against Lamar Jackson in the zone read. And that's not his position. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, for a rookie, that's going to be a very big challenge for him.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and look, I'm not saying they can't handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, they've played well. They are trending in the right direction. The arrow is pointed up for this group, and so I've been encouraged by what I've seen over the second half of the season. And so there is that, but you know, it's this game is intriguing in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And when you cover this kind of stuff, I mean, the last thing you want is just a game that has boring participants or teams that have, you know, the Chiefs, third time they've been there in 4 years. It's a different team now with different issues. It's not the same characters. I mean, what is it, like less than 10 guys left from the team that won the championship, what, 3 years ago? So, you know that going in. You know that, you know, Nick Sirianni is and Shane Steichen, his offensive coordinator, are very good at shape-shifting that offense depending on the situation. And so they got to be ready for that. You know, Spagnuolo's defense, I've always said, is really at its best against stationary quarterbacks that don't move that well. Pocket passers.
Yeah.
And so when you get a guy on the run, like you said, it does put tremendous pressure on the edge rushers. I mean, you got to be ready to handle the run. You got to be able to get after the quarterback. It's going to be a lot of second and five situations, third and fours. You could be on the field for a long period of time. These are the kings of 13, 14 play drives. You know, so yeah. There's a lot. You know, I was a little bit surprised that the Eagles were favored going into it because the Chiefs with the having been there so many times and Mahomes being as good as he is, but I also understand it a little bit too.
Well, it opened up with the Chiefs as the 2.5-point favorite, right? And within hours, it was all the money, public money, had gone on the Eagles.
Oh, did so it? I didn't know that. I thought it opened up.
The way
up
I
the
saw
Eagles.
It was Chiefs opened up as the 2.5-point favorite, and within hours, the Eagles were the 2.5-point favorite. Like, that's how quickly the
what
line
would
moved.
You set the line at?
Like the Bengals?
Eagles are favored by 1.5.
I'm not a gambler, so I don't really know. I think the Eagles have – I mean, I think today, if you're just going off where it's at today, like, we don't know the health of Juju Smith-Schuster. We don't know the health of Kadarius Toney. We don't know the health of Mecole Hardman, Willie Gay, and Legarius Sneed, or even how healthy Patrick Mahomes will be in that game. And based off all that, yeah, I'd go with the Eagles. But – you know, there's some recency bias here because having watched Mahomes do it and the Chiefs do what they did in that game on Sunday, you're thinking, man, this team can handle anything. You know?
Right.
And so there is that element to
battle
it.
Battle tested.
Yeah, but the flip side of it, I also saw the Eagles knock two quarterbacks out in a half of football, and they got 78 sacks this year, which is a huge number. And they've got – they. I was talking to somebody earlier today about this, and I said – the Eagles do a lot of things well that give the Chiefs problems. They have a mobile quarterback. They run the ball really well. They have a really good offensive line. They've got a defensive line that's really good across the board, but especially they have speed on the edge, which makes Orlando Brown and Andrew Wiley susceptible. And then they have corners who can cover. And so you can do a lot of stuff with that. I mean, I would thoroughly expect James Bradberry to cover Travis Kelce in this game because he covered him when the Giants played him last year and it gave him problems.
What if I told you the Chiefs are going to win?
I would not be surprised. You tell me that every week.
That's right.
That would
he's
be.
Almost always
I would tell you it's Tuesday.
Pretty.
He's almost always right.
This really is a fabulous matchup. It's for so many reasons. Anytime the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, you're going to be excited about it, but just. I'm talking about from the perspective of just your average NFL fan that's looking for storylines, that's looking for action, looking for excitement, playmakers, elite quarterbacks. I mean, you've got – how often do you have – and maybe you're going to prove me wrong, but, like, how often do you have, like, clearly the top two candidates for MVP on the two best teams, the two number one seeds matching up in the Super Bowl? Yeah. Well, it's all right there.
Well, even that. Look at what history says. No MVP winner has won the Super Bowl since Kurt Warner did it in '99. So 24 years since that's happened. Or 23
That's why it's
going
to be so impressive when Mahomes does it.
And then no dual threat quarterback.
Yes.
That's won a championship ever. So that's always been the talk.
Something
you can't
got to give.
You can't win a championship with players like that. So right off the bat at that position, there's going to be.
Marco's face suggests that he's trying to challenge you right now. Here we go.
I guess we have to start.
What do you want to ask?
Look at him.
Russell Wilson didn't win a Super Bowl.
Is he a dual threat quarterback?
Running and throwing?
Defining
he's a
what
scrambling
that,
quarterback.
Yeah,
what's a dual threat?
Yeah,
They don't call run plays for him.
I see what you're saying. No design QB draws.
Because like Mahomes, Mahomes can run. We saw that. Like Mahomes can run, but they don't design. They don't call run plays for Patrick Mahomes.
He's not a weapon. He's not Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields.
Like those guys, they call run plays.
Jalen Hurts ran a run based offense last year. So that's really the closest you can come to
They weren't designing options for Trent Dilfer?
I mean, the only guy who's been there is Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating. So again, you've got that philosophy in play. You've got the philosophy of, do you build around the quarterback and win that way, or do you go out and find the stud quarterback and win that way? You've got, you know, does defense still matter, or is it all about offense now?
Well, and I also like which kind of pass rusher is better.
Yeah.
The guy that blows things up the middle like Chris Jones, or the guy that kills you off the edge like Reddick. Yeah. You know?
Another storyline.
Four times the top ranked pass offense has met the top ranked pass defense in the NFL. You know who's won?
The
Chiefs. I don't know. Let's take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Jeff Chedia. So we'll get your official prediction next week. See how some of these injuries play out.
It's too early. I mean, don't you think so? Wouldn't it be too early to call it right now without knowing who's going to win?
It's never too early.
When's the last time you picked against the Chiefs?
I don't know. Probably when Alex Smith is quarterback.
I was going to say, I'd have to go back about 6 years to see that.
Well, you know.
Are you surprised by the line?
By the line?
Yeah.
No, I honestly, when as soon as the game was over, somebody asked me, what do you think the line's going to be? I said, I bet it's Eagles by 2 or 3.
Really?
Yeah, cause I think because of the injuries, you know, the up in the air, I thought people would jump on that. And because the Eagles looked so good, But is there anything you take away from the quarterbacks they had to beat to get to the Super Bowl being Daniel Jones, Brock Purdy, and Josh Johnson? I mean, you can only play who's in front of you, but
Purdy was playing well. I mean, I hear you with Daniel Jones. I just think that, and people are that is part of this too. People are arguing that this is the most complete team they will have played this season. That when they played the Cowboys, when Gardner Minshew played, that Prescott had a big day against him, but they also had 4 turnovers in that game. So it's there's a lot. Chiefs played 10 teams with losing records this year. I mean, there's no way to really balance it. I think both teams are really good. They're the two best teams. They're the top seeds. I mean, they both won 14 games. You can't really take anything away. At the end of the day, they both have their strengths. They both have some flaws, and it should be a great game.
We'll get your official prediction when you're live in Arizona next week. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Nate, anything you want to say before we go?
No, I'm good.
George Karlaftis, nothing? Thank you to Marco. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.